Well, good evening everyone. Thank you very much for the invitation to come and to share the gospel message. It's always a privilege to do so. It's always a privilege to share that great good news of God's love that has been displayed through His Son, the Lord Jesus. Now, the theme tonight that I would like to think about as we present the gospel message is this: famous last words. Famous last words. Now, the reason I've been thinking about that is this: my wife and I were in the States on holiday, and it was a bit cultured, so we went to Washington to do a bit of sightseeing, learning a bit about American history. And I use that word, it's all relative, because we don't have a lot of history, we understand that, compared to ourselves and compared to the Europeans. Nonetheless, it's history to them. And there was we were reminded when we were there that the river that runs through Washington DC is the Potomac River, and that reminded me of a well-known story. Now, some of you might know this story, and if you do, it might bring a smile to your face. And it's about a man called General John Sedgwick. General John Sedgwick. And he was of the Army of the Potomac. And during the Civil War, and he fought for the Confederate Army, in 1864, this has been recorded as happening, he stood up in the trenches and he gave a message to his troops that were very, very scared. And these troops were scared, didn't want to put their head above the parapet during this particular battle. And General John Sedgwick thought, I'm going to rally the troops. So he stood on a big box, and his head was well and truly above the parapet. And he said this, and it's been recorded for us in history: they couldn't hit an elephant from this distance. Speaking about the opposition, they couldn't hit an elephant from this distance. And allegedly, this is what history tells us, at that precise moment, there was a shell of mortar came right down, right through his helmet, and killed him. Now, there's nothing funny about war, don't get me wrong, nothing funny about war, but there's something rather amusing about those particular words. How foolish. They couldn't hit an elephant from this distance, and at that moment, he was shot in the head. Foolish words. And this man has become infamous for those words, because they were his last words, and they were foolish last words. And if you go on the internet and type in foolish last words, you'll very quickly come to this man and this particular story. I want to think tonight about famous last words from the Bible. Five different men, and most of them were foolish. Most of them were foolish. There was one man whose question wasn't foolish. It was a fantastic question. I hope a question that you've asked yourself. Unfortunately, his actions to follow up the question were foolish. And then there was one man whose words were not foolish. In fact, his words were absolutely and utterly inspired. And we'll get to him at the end. Now, the first man I want to think about is found in Acts, and his name is Festus. I'm going to read about him in Acts chapter 26. Now, the background to this part of God's word concerns the Apostle Paul, a great man of God, one of the great preachers of the gospel. And he was on a missionary journey, and he came to Jerusalem, and he was preaching the gospel to the Jews. But the people of the day didn't take it kindly, and they sought to do away with him, they sought to kill him. But of course, Jerusalem was under Roman rule at that point, and Paul was handed over to the Romans. And he was seen by a man named Festus, who was a Roman governor, and he was also seen by a man named Felix, who also was a Roman governor. We're going to think about Festus first. In Acts chapter 26, Paul is being heard by this man called Festus. Now let's look at verse 23 of Acts chapter 26, please. Let's read them together. Verse 23 says that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he, that's Paul, said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth. And I want to think about Festus' words here. Much learning doth make thee mad. What a really discouraging response from Festus. And I say this with a great deal of sadness, but if we were to confront society in the life today, the vast majority of men and women being confronted with the things of God, when confronted with the things of the Bible, when confronted with the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, who died to save us from our sins, unfortunately, And I say this with a great deal of sadness. I think the response may well be, for most, the same as Festus: "You're mad." How sad. How sad. You see, people today do not want to believe in God. Many people today do not want to think about God. They want to keep him at a distance. They want to keep him out of their lives. And of course, that is so very convenient, isn't it? It's so very convenient. Because if I don't have to believe in God, and I don't have to think about what God is telling me, then I can just do what I want to do. And that will be so much easier, or so to think. And unfortunately today, men and women, because of that, will choose to believe in theories of how we're here and why we're here. And that is good enough for their own conscience. But you know, I was just thinking this, we were at a Christian camp this year down in Sizewell, which is on the southeast coast. And at this place, it's right on the water, it's a beautiful house. They have these amazing teachers called glowworms. I don't know if you've ever seen a glowworm. And at night, we would go out, and you can see them in the bushes, these incredible creatures glowing. You know, it amazes me that men and women would tell us that that creature would come from this tiny little bit of mucus in the water. And over billions of years, and by sheer chance, it would come into this worm that somehow can emit a chemical that can glow in the dark. Come on, surely that can never be the case. This chemical that can glow in the dark, but I've learned that is more efficient than any light bulb that man has ever created. And men and women will choose today to believe that has happened over billions of years by pure chance through a process of evolution. It amazes me that out of this little mucus in the ground, over billions of years, we can get a creature like an elephant, such a strange looking creature. I'm sorry, I just cannot believe that. I cannot believe that one little bit. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Every creature, every person, by God. God created the world, is what the Bible would tell us. And the Bible says very clearly, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's what the fool says. There is no God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, it says this: God has made foolish the wisdom of this world. God has made foolish the wisdom of this world. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, for the preaching of the cross of Christ is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. What is the power of God unto? It's the power of God unto salvation. Unfortunately, many men and women today would turn their back on God and believe in theories that just could not possibly be true. But tonight, I want to say that there is a God. There is one true and living God. He's the God of the Bible. And he cares for you, and he loves you, and he has something to tell you, and it's so important that we respond to him tonight. What is best to say? Much learning Paul had made me mad. What did Paul say? He said this: I am not mad, but speak the words of truth. The words of truth that are recorded for us in this Bible, God's word, written by many men over many years, but all inspired by God. And it's what God has to say to us tonight. Now, I hope that no one in here will fall into this first category. No one in here will side with the words of this man: much learning doth make thee mad. You know, it was said in a meeting just recently that there's no part of the Bible that is devoted to proving that God exists. It starts off in the very first page, in the beginning God. It's taken for granted. It's read. God exists. Hope you believe that God exists tonight. Now let's move on to the second man that we're going to think about. And his name was Felix. We mentioned him already briefly. He too was a Roman governor. And we'll see him just in a couple of chapters before, in Acts chapter 24. And we're going to look at his famous last words. As far as we know, this man Festus that we looked at there are no more words recorded from him in the Bible. As far as we know, he would have died as a sinner. And we'll think about that in a second. And he would have died without a Saviour in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a terrible, terrible thing. So let's look at this man called Felix, and we'll read verses 24 and 25 of Acts chapter 24. And after certain days, verse 24, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. Where I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. So we're looking here at another man, and his words were this: the last words that we think are recorded in the Bible. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. And I want to notice this, Paul was sharing his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sharing his belief in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as his Saviour, the one who saved him from his sins, and has made it possible for Paul to go to heaven. But he mentions this, he mentions judgment, judgment to come. He says in Hebrews chapter 9, it is appointed unto men once to die, and every single one of us will die. But then the verse says this, but after this, there is the judgment. Friends, there is more than when we just die. When we die, it doesn't just end. Life goes on, spiritual life goes on, and there will be a judgment. And the true judge will be the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because he is the only righteous judge, because he's one that lived a perfect and a sinless and a spotless life when he was here on earth. He is the only one that could be the righteous judge. And there will be a judgment for each and every one of us. And whether we pass that test or not is down simply to this, what we have done with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have we believed in him, or have we rejected him? Every single one of us one day will stand before him. And if we have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, unfortunately, we will be cast aside for all of eternity, forever and forever and forever, not to spend it with God in praising the Lord Jesus Christ, but unfortunately in a place called hell. And the Bible speaks about a place called hell, a terrible place. And that will be an awful, awful, awful place to be. See this, the Bible tells you very clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short of God's standard. And God's standard was simply this, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was perfection personified. He was absolutely holy, absolutely pure, absolutely righteous. And that is this God's standard, it's perfection. And unfortunately we are imperfect. Each and every one of us has done wrong. Each and every one of us has sinned, the Bible calls it. And there are many examples of sins, from really terrible sins we can think about, to really, really minor sins, but they're all sins. They're all sins. And simply ignoring God and keeping God out of our life is one of the biggest. It's all sin. And that sin will prevent us from getting to heaven, because God cannot tolerate sin and God cannot have sin in his holy presence. But this is the wonderful message of the gospel we're here to share tonight. The wonderful message that Paul would have been sharing with Festus and the Felix. That God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who he loved more than anything else, and more than any other. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, and as we'll say twice now, he lived a perfect, perfect life. Never a thought amiss. Never a word amiss. And he went one day to a cross, as he knew he would. And he gave up his life on the cross and shed his precious blood. For each and every one of us, for every man, woman, boy and girl that's walked on this earth. And he did that because he loved us, because God would have all to be saved. And because we would have our sins forgiven if we'd believe in him and trust in him. And if we do that, we'll not face God's judgment as a sinner and be cast aside, but we will pass God's judgment and we'll spend eternity with him in heaven. Notice also Paul mentions this, he talks about righteousness. And the Bible says that our righteousness as humans, is as filthy rags. Even our good things, even our good times, even our good days, even our good moments. Unfortunately, compared to the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ, compared to God's perfection, it's like filthy rags in the sight of God. We need to grasp this. We need to grasp this. But however, the Lord Jesus Christ is righteous, and when we believe in him, and when we trust in him, his righteousness comes upon us, and it makes us pure and holy and fit for heaven too. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful message for us all this evening. Now I wanted again to notice and remember the response of Felix to this. Notice that he trembled in verse 25. He trembled. I wonder if you've ever had a point when considering the incredibly weighty matters of eternity, about what happens after we die, about the things of God, the really weighty matters. I wonder if you've ever got to that point in life when you've trembled, when you've worried about it, when it's concerned you. Felix trembled. He was responding. He recognised what Paul was saying was most likely the truth, I think. But notice how disappointing and how foolish his words to follow that up. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. In other words, he's saying this. Maybe next week, maybe next year, Maybe at some point in the future when I'm not quite so busy and maybe life's a little bit slower, I'll maybe think about what you say, Paul, and maybe then I'll become a Christian. Well, it may come as no surprise to us that, as far as we know, there are no more words recorded in the Bible concerning this man. And as far as we know, he never did get to that point when there was a convenient season. He never did get to that point where he became a Christian. And again, he would have died in his sins and would have been separated from God for all eternity. So that is what the Bible would tell us would happen to us if we die in our sins. How tragic and how foolish the last words of this man named Felix. I wonder tonight, are you putting it off? I wonder tonight if you've, like Felix, heard the gospel message. I've heard of all this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've heard what the Lord Jesus Christ can do for you, but you've put it off. And you've put it off. And you've put it off. We hope tonight will be the night when you would accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Let's move on to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. This is the man whose words were not foolish. Whose words were not foolish, but whose actions were. In Matthew chapter 19. And there we read about a rich young man, and he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and bar one little sentence, the last words, the recorded of him was this: "What good things shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? What good things shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" He's asking the Lord Jesus Christ that question. What a tremendous question to ask. Friends, that is the most important question I think that any of us could ask in our lives. What good things shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? Not foolish words. Far from it. Fantastic question to ask. And what a fantastic person to ask it to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son himself. Unfortunately, if we read on in that chapter, we read this, that the man went away sorrowful because he was rich. The answer the Lord Jesus Christ gave to him was this: "Follow me. Follow me." Simple. But the man wasn't willing to give up his possessions and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went away sorrowful. His question was fantastic, but his actions were foolish. His actions were foolish. I want to say tonight that we cannot work our way to heaven. What good things shall I do to be saved? Simply coming to church cannot get us to heaven. Simply being a good person, which is something we should all strive for, that in itself can get us to heaven. Because there's nothing we can do in ourselves, the Bible would tell us, that can get us to heaven. There's nothing we can do in ourselves that can save us from our sin. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he did in Calvary that can save us from our sin. And it is only the redemptive work that he did at Calvary that can take us all the way to heaven for all of eternity. What do we have to do? Simply this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in him, and you shall be saved. He said to this man, "Follow me," because the Lord Jesus Christ, who of course knew all things as God, Son, he knew fine well this man couldn't give up his possessions. But as we have to follow him as Christians, the first thing we have to do is we have to believe in him. We have to believe in him. Believe that he's the Son of God. Believe that he came to die for us, to die for me. Make it personal. And that is how we are saved. So let's remember again, these were not foolish words by this rich young ruler, rich young man, but they were foolish actions because he didn't follow it up with the answer the Lord Jesus Christ gave him. He didn't believe, he didn't follow. How tragic. We've looked at three men now, unfortunately, quite depressingly, foolish words, foolish actions. But we're going to think about the man now, Acts chapter 26. And similarly again, foolish words, Acts chapter 26, and in verse 28. These are well-known words, of course, in the New Testament, often quoted in gospel meetings. And this time Paul is before the king, and again we'd be sharing his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. But then in verse 28, King Agrippa said this unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. Again, much like Felix, here was a man in King Agrippa who listened to what Paul had to say intently with interest. And obviously what Paul had to say struck a chord with him. And again, it's funny, I think he was so close, just so close, because that's what he says, becoming a Christian. so close to making that step of faith that would save him from his sins and save him from all of eternity. But there's one word in that verse, and it's an awful word. It's almost. It's almost. Just that little word. And as we all know, it doesn't matter in what walk of life you apply this word to, almost never counts. Almost never counts. And it never will count. And it never has counted. It's so near, but yet, unfortunately, it's so far. King Agrippa leaves the pages of our Bible at this point, and again, there's no words recorded from him again. And again, as far as we know, he never became a Christian. He never had his sins dealt with. He never had a home for himself in heaven. Tragic. Tragic, because the offer is there for each and every one of us. The offer is there. It's a free gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's a free gift. It's the best gift that's ever been offered to anyone. And it's eternal life. And it's eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. But Agrippa never became a Christian. So four men, four sets of famous last words. I wonder, do you fall into any of the categories we've looked at? Do you side with any of the words that have been said? It's madness. I hope you don't think that. I hope that we all here believe in God, believe in the existence of God, and want to listen to what he's got to say to us. I will hear from you again. Let's not put it off, friends. Let's not put it off. Let's become a Christian tonight. What must I do to be saved? I hope that we've all asked that question ourselves, and that we've heard the answer, and that we've followed it up with actions. But I hope none of us have said this almost. Almost. Well, if it is almost, then may it be tonight you make that step, that final step, that wonderful step to becoming a Christian. Now finally I want to look at one man, and here we get to the wonderful part of the message tonight, because this man's words were inspired. They were absolutely inspired. His famous last words, I'm sure they are famous last words, in Luke chapter 23, please. Luke chapter 23 and verse 42. And we are going right now to the scene of Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. A brutal death, an incredibly, intensely painful death, when the creator of the world and the creator of all things, the Lord Jesus himself, died on a cross for his creation. But on the cross next to him were two other crosses, the Bible tells us, and next to the Lord Jesus Christ on his right and on his left were two malefactors, there were two robbers, people that had been convicted for the things that they had done wrong. And this was the sentence, that they would be crucified. And we get to verse 41. Please, verse 41. And here is one of them speaking, one of these malefactors. And he says this, "And we indeed, justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds. But this man, Lord Jesus Christ, hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shall thou be with me in paradise." The words of this malefactor, a man who had most likely, and I'm speculating here, but most likely had lived a terrible life. He probably had a difficult upbringing, he may well have had. He has probably done many things wrong in his life. There was one thing that he had done that he'd been caught for and he'd been convicted of, and he was put on a cross to die for his things that he had done wrong. Notice what he says in verse 41. He realizes that he had done wrong. He realizes that he had done wrong. So it says, "We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." So that's the first thing. He realizes that he had done wrong. That's the first step to salvation. We need to realize that we have sinned and fallen short of God's standard, just like this man. And that's a difficult thing for many people today, because pride gets in the way. People don't want to admit that they're on the wrong path. People don't want to admit that they've done wrong, but the Bible says they've all done wrong. We said that already. This man realised that at that very moment on the cross. Here's the next part. He then recognises the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is. And this is such an important part, isn't it? He looks at the Lord Jesus Christ and he says, "I have done wrong. But this man has done nothing wrong. He looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, and in that moment, he recognized him as the Son of God. The Son of God. I wonder, have you ever looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and recognized him as the Son of God? But notice the final part of what this malefactor did. He sought forgiveness. He sought forgiveness. He says, "Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. Remember me." I wonder, have you sought forgiveness tonight? Have you ever reached that point in your life when you've recognized you've done wrong, when you've recognized who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what he can do for you, and you've come to him, and you've sought forgiveness, and asked him into your life, and asked him to save you for all of eternity? What a fantastic, fantastic words from this man. Inspired. Just at that moment, he would be killed in just a few short minutes. But before it was too late, inspired words. Inspired words. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And notice the response of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a great, great comfort to us all. The Lord Jesus Christ says this: "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." He says, "Verily I say unto thee." Anything the Lord Jesus Christ says, verily, you know, the next thing that's coming is very important. He says, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And you know, tonight, if you become a Christian, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have your sins forgiven, at that very precise moment, immediately, you have a home in heaven. Straight away. And that can never be taken away from you. And when you die, you will go to heaven for all of eternity to be with the Lord Jesus himself. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I say in the Bible this, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." There's no dubiety about it. There is no dubiety about it. If you seek forgiveness in the Lord Jesus, he will absolutely, definitely respond and forgive you of your sins and transfer his righteousness upon you and set you on your way to heaven for all of eternity. You know, some of the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself are very interesting, aren't they? Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15, he says this: "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, he was saying to his disciples. And that's why the people that meet here and leave and have these meetings, the Lord Jesus Christ commands it: go into the world and preach the gospel. We have to tell others about the gospel message, that great message of good news. That's why we're having these meetings tonight. But the Lord Jesus Christ also said this about himself: "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. The only way we can get to God. The only way we can get to heaven. The only way that we can be saved. And just a few short chapters later in the Bible, he says, the Lord Jesus Christ has said this: "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Simply this: believe in him and thou shalt be saved. Now I'm finished. Thank you very much for listening. Let's just remember again what we've thought about very briefly. The response of Festus is madness. The response of Felix: go away and I've got a more convenient season. I'll think about it again. We thought about King Agrippa. Almost. We thought about that rich young man who asked a great question but didn't follow it up with actions. But finally we thought about the man on the cross, the malefactor, someone who had done many things wrong but yet had inspired words and inspired actions. And he was saved. And he's in heaven right now. I wonder, do you know with a surety if you'll be in heaven when you die? Let's just close with a word of prayer. God and Father, I want to thank thee again for thy word. Father, we thank thee again for the Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son. Thank thee, Father, for all that he has done for us. And Father, again, we would remember tonight that almost doesn't count. That putting it off is a very, very bad thing to do. But Father, again, we want to thank thee for the malefactor on the cross, that who looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and who recognized him as the Son of God, but more than that, recognized him as his own and his personal Saviour. May it be tonight, Father, there will be someone in the audience who has not yet made that step of faith, who has not yet had their sin dealt with. May it be tonight, Father, that they would come in simple faith and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and depend on him and have a hope in him for all of eternity. Father, may it be tonight that we might see a soul saved. For Father, again, we would ask it in thy Son's most precious name. Amen.